The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Passes, does it again,
It's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 150. If you are listening on drop day, what is it? November 13th?
Oh, yeah.
We're talking Garrett Crochet today. This is the guy that the three of us from the jump this offseason have been all in on. But before we get there, just know this is the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Comment, rate us 5 stars, subscribe wherever you're getting your podcasts. We're on YouTube on the WEI channel. You can find the Play Tessie playlist there. It has all the episodes. You can hit the thumbs up on those videos, which we, as always, really appreciate. And subscribe to WEI there. And we're on the socials, at Play Tessie, on both Twitter and Instagram. So I'm here with Sammy, and I'm here with Pat. And as I just said, we're talking Garrett Crochet. I'm literally, as I'm doing this intro, trying to scroll back and like find all of the gazillions of quotes that have come out like over the last week alone about Garrett Crochet. It all started, I mean, honestly, like people have been kind of assuming that the Red Sox would be in for a little while, but it really picked up steam when Buster Olney said that Crochet is definitely going to get traded this offseason, and the two teams that he's going to be watching for it are the Mets and the Red Sox. Then Chris Getz, the White Sox GM, said that he wants to prioritize position players in a Crochet trade and is going to use the Dylan Cease trade sort of as like a model to find a fair deal here. John Morosi went on MLB Network and piggybacked off of that and said, I think the Red Sox make a great fit because their position player prospect group is better than everyone else's. Says it could be like another Chris Sale trade with the White Sox and the Red Sox. And then I guess I can jump forward to Sean McAdams' article, which if you haven't read it on Mass Live, that article is really good. It's really informative, gives a pretty good idea from the White Sox perspective too. Like he has a source in there talking like it's a source familiar with the White Sox line of thinking. And he said that the Red Sox are considered major players for Crochet, and the White Sox even pulled a scout off of his regular coverage in September to fully cover the Red Sox system. Then, when talking about if Willie Abreu specifically could headline a trade for Garrett Crochet, the source told Sean McAdam, yeah, I think so. I think he could. There's a lot of value there, especially when you factor in the 5 years of control. Then went on to say, it's hard to pass up what you've seen at the major league level in favor of something you're hoping for, someone who's maybe never played at Double A. And then last thing I thought was really notable from that article was that Roman Anthony pretty much off limits in Crochet talks So I think we're going to start there. The trade, and they talked a little bit about Cutter Crawford too, potentially being a secondary piece. I dabble back and forth on that one just because if the GM comes out and says they're prioritizing position player prospects, does that only apply to the headliner, or does that mean in the trade it's got to be all position players? Like, do you guys think that there would be interest from the White Sox end in Cutter Crawford, or would the Red Sox maybe need to rework a potential package?
I think there would be some interest in Cutter Crawford just because he's got a lot of team control and he's young, but I don't think, I think it has to be centered around a position player, obviously, but I don't know if Cutter's the right secondary piece. Yeah, they'd be interested in him, but like as the second biggest piece, I think it's more so going to be like a group of prospects because the White Sox they're bad. I don't know if you guys saw last year. They were bad. They lost a lot of games, the most games anyone has ever lost. So I think they're really going to covet the team control. So Willier makes sense. Cutter has, correct me if I'm wrong, one less year. Okay, so four. Yeah, one less year. So yeah, maybe they'd be interested in him, but I think there's other guys they'd prefer.
Pat, what about you?
I think they'd be interested in Cutter because he does have those 4 years. He has been, he's shown he's number four or five in a major league rotation. But they have a lot of really good pitching. I don't know if Cutter would be a real get for them. I think I'm more in the lines of, okay, Willier is your quote-unquote centerpiece, and then kind of this mishmash of lower high-end and mid-tier prospects that are position players, maybe a starting pitcher who's years and years away. But Cutter, I don't see them really having an interest in.
Well, here's one thing one way you could look at it. Because my first thought was, okay, the GM is literally saying they want position player prospects. But one of the benefits of acquiring a big league starter that has both team control, obviously it's not Willier amount of control or like a prospect, because prospects have 6 years, Willier has 5 years, Cutter has 4 years. But one thing he does have is he's a proven big leaguer and he has additional upside. Like, I think we all agree Cutter can be better than what we saw this year. The only thing really that held him back was the long ball. So if he keeps the ball in the yard or pitched in maybe a more pitcher-friendly ballpark, like this is a guy who definitely could take the next step. And if he does, now you have a chance to cash in on yet another asset to get more for when your window actually opens up. Because I do agree. If you get a guy with 4 years of control, they're probably not contending for at least the next 2 years. So does a four-year guy make a ton of sense? Maybe not. But I'll ask you guys this. The trade offer that Sean McAdam talked about, Willier Abreu, Cutter Crawford, and then a third prospect from kind of like that next tier of guys. And the two names he brought up were, I believe it's pronounced Yastinkson Garcia.
Yes.
The password Garcia or Mikey Romero. But I think the password is a little bit more highly regarded right now. So let's go with him. Willier, Cutter, password for Garrett Crochet. Who says no?
The White Sox. Come on. Why would the White Sox do that? Look, I like Willier, but he's flawed. He can't. Pat talked about it two episodes ago. Can't hit lefties. And I kind of poo-pooed that when Pat said that, thinking, oh, he's young, whatever, he'll figure it out. I went back and checked after our recording. He has never hit lefties, not in the minors at all. So, flawed player, good player, but a flawed player. Second piece in the trade, password, good prospect, not a great prospect. Kind of like this is the catcher, right? There's two passwords.
No. this is the outfielder.
The outfielder. So you're not getting a plus defender or a premium position defender. Good bat. I don't know if that's enough. And then you throw in guys like Mikey Romero, maybe a lot of injury issues, back issues. That scares guys off. We spoke about Cutter. I think they're going to have to. and then you also have to factor in, like, there's going to be other teams making plays for Garrett Crochet. This just seems like it's way too low for me. I can't fathom the White Sox taking a deal like that. I think they'd hang on to him and trade him at the deadline before they accepted that.
Pat, I want to get your take on this, but I want to play devil's advocate for Sammy a little bit here. I think one of the benefits of Willier being on a team like the White Sox is they can just throw him out there every day. He can, like with the Red Sox, if they're trying to win the division, it is going to be hard to play Willier Abreu against lefties, even if he's a Gold Glove right fielder. He just, as you said, he's just never done it.
That's not enough to swing a trade for. We're talking about a Garrett Crochet who, in my opinion, I'd say he's going to be at like a top 10, 15 starting pitcher in Major League Baseball next year. This is a horse.
I agree. I agree. I think he's going to be that too. But when you're trading for a guy like Crochet, you're not trading for a guy who has pitched 200 innings before. You're not trading for a guy who's shown that he can pitch in October yet. You're not trading for a guy who has multiple years of Cy Young votes like Chris Sale. And you're trading for a guy who has 2 years of control. So I don't think that trading for Crochet is going to take as much as trading for a normal pitcher that, like, because we see Crochet, I think, in the highest light of anyone. So it's like we're not really giving like the other opinion there, because there are people out there that don't want Crochet, that don't think he's proven at all, and think that there's a chance that he just totally flops. But yeah, you're not trading for a guy who's proven. So you
okay,
pay less,
I agree.
You pay less.
You're not paying for a guy who's proven, but if one team out there wants to pay like he is proven just because they really want to get him, then boom, all of a sudden now you are paying as if he's a guy who's proven. So I just can't see the price being that low. If it were just the Red Sox trying to trade for him and there are no other teams, sure. But you got to bring the Mets and the Orioles. The Orioles could just drop a hammer in these conversations and you're screwed. And you'd have to counter, and then all of a sudden you're really overpaying. So for me, that offer I think is wishful thinking.
Pat, who says no to that offer?
The White Sox. But I don't think it's so far off. I think they need more on the back end than the front end. I think if they, let's say hypothetically, they are interested in Cutter. Cutter is a piece that they're interested in. So you get Willier, you get Cutter. I think you could go Password. I don't know if they would really love Password. He kind of strikes me as a utility, good bat. Doesn't really play any position really well. I think the back end, if you did something like Chase Meidroth and one of Romero or Nazan Zanatello, maybe that's a little bit more enticing because you do get a little bit mid-level position player prospect back. And Meidroth looks like he's going to be a legit bat. Not, you know, all-star, like whatever, but like an everyday solid major league player, kind of like Willier looked like when we got it for Christian Vasquez. I think that on the back end makes it a little bit more enticing. And that's like the floor of Crochet talks. Like that's where I would start the talks. Cause like Sammy said, all it takes is the Dodgers, the Orioles, the Cubs, one of those teams to jump in to really gun up that price. But once the price goes up, the Sox can offer the most pretty comfortably. It's whether or not they think it's a humongous overpay to match those offers.
Yeah, and we're going to get into the Big Four's potential involvement in this. One thing I will say before giving my answer to that is that on their podcast, Sean McAdams sounded weirdly pretty confident that that offer would get it done. I'm on your guys' boat there. I don't think it's that far off, but I think unless the third piece in the trade is a little bit higher, a little bit bigger of a deal than the Password, if they're looking for position players, I just don't know if you're getting enough in that regard in this deal. But if it was Willier Abreu, Cutter Crawford, and Yoelin Cespedes, yeah, I think they do it. I don't think they're getting a better offer than that. I think if you compare that trade to the Dylan Cease trade, it blows it out of the water. So if that's what they're basing it off of, yeah, I think they do it. And honestly, unless one of these other competitors trades their star prospect, I don't think anyone's topping it.
See, I can't imagine a team not offering something crazy for a kid like this at 25 years old. Plus, he wants to be extended. Plus, he's already got two extra years of team control. So you got flexibility for the first 2 years, assuming that the contract kicks in after that. I think, can I give a counter? Like what I think it's going to be, or are we holding on?
Yeah.
No, okay. I want to do the same.
Okay. Yeah, give me a counter.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Does it involve
this
the Big
is the
Four?
Lowest. Say it again?
Does it involve the Big Four?
No.
Okay, then go ahead.
This is the absolute lowest I think that the Red Sox could get Crochet for. Willier Abreu, Franklin Arias, 95th ranked prospect in Major League Baseball, Password, and Romero. And then maybe instead of one of those two prospects, if they would rather Luis Perales, if they really like the upside and don't mind the injury, switch him in for one of them. But I think it's going to be something like that. Abreu, Arias, Password, Romero.
It's interesting,
and
Sammy.
Keep in mind, like small market teams, like the White Sox, the A's, the Rockies, when they trade away major league talent, they often go for the quantity over quality because they're small market. So they just want one or two of these guys to hit rather than like the big shot prospect, because if that big shot prospect doesn't hit, then they're screwed because they don't spend money. It's the only way they get talent. So I don't hate a smattering of upper mid-tier prospects rather than one big prospect. I think that idea is fine, but it's going to be something like what I just said. Like, it's going to cost a lot.
You know, Sammy, it's interesting. I actually think that Abreu, Cutter, Password is more than the deal that you proposed.
Me, I kind of do too, but I don't think it fits what the White Sox are doing as well.
Maybe, but I don't know. You're getting multiple big leaguers, both with a ton of control, both proven. Like, if you're like, the main thing there was you basically added Romero to it and then swapped Cutter for Arias. To me, yeah. I think Cutter is more valuable than Arias and Romero. Like, if the Red Sox traded Cutter, you would want them to get more than a fringe top 100 prospect if they were selling.
You think you could trade Cutter Crawford right now for a top 100 prospect? Arias is 95th.
I think you could. I think you could. He's already a mid-rotation starter with 4 years of control with upside for more. Proven big leaguer.
But this is my point, Gordo. We're debating which one's more valuable. And if it's close, I think the White Sox would prefer the prospect. Plus, like we said,
that's not what Sean McAdams' source said, though. Sean McAdams' source said big leaders, like, you want the proven commodity over the guy who hasn't played in Double A yet. And that, to me, screams Arias. Like, Arias is all potential, very little proven stateside yet. Like, we have barely seen him.
They also the White Sox last year, they signed Eric Fetty, who, former major league pitcher, but he went on to come back from Korea, I believe. They signed him knowing they were going to suck, and then they flipped him at the deadline. So that they could be doing that with Cutter Crawford as well, something we didn't mention.
I like that comp. I like that idea. Pat, you said you were going to rework something too?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
I think Willier
Arias, Blaze, and one of David Hamilton or Nick Sogard.
Ooh, David Hamilton. I didn't even think of him. That's a good one.
I was just thinking about him, too. I want to send him to the Giants. We'll talk about that in another Who Says No. But, yeah, David Hamilton is definitely a guy who, as a left-handed middle infielder, could be on the chopping block this year. And not in terms of, like, a DFA or anything, because he's a good player. But in terms of trading. Pat, I think that might be an overpay by the Red Sox. That said, I would still do it. If we're doing Who Says No, I would not say no if I'm the Red Sox, and I certainly wouldn't say no to that if I'm the White Sox, because I'm comfortable overpaying for the guy. I believe in the guy. Like, I think there's two different discussions to be had. There's, would you overpay for him? And there's, would you trade a big four prospect for him? First, Sammy, would you say no to the deal that Pat proposed?
So who is it? Give me the deal again. I have so many names in my head.
Willier, Hamilton, Arias, Cespedes or Blaze, one of those two.
Yeah, of course. I mean, come on. Can you imagine turning down Garrett Crochet because you have a few guys in single A that you think might be something in 4 or 5 years from now? Fuck that, dude. Yeah, absolutely, that's a yes from me.
Yeah. Okay. So we're all on the same page there, but now let's make it a little bit more difficult. Is there a world where you would trade someone in the big four? So that's Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell, Kyle Teal. Is there a world where you would trade one of those guys in a deal for Garrett Crochet?
I would trade Meyer or Teal. I don't think I would be able to, after the season that Christian Campbell just had and the season that Roman Anthony just had, these aren't guys, like I just mentioned, who are in single A, who we think might be something a few years from now. These are guys who are on the verge of becoming major league ball players and are hopefully going to be with the Red Sox for a long, long, long time. So at that point, I would just say, like, look, love Crochet. Congrats to the Orioles for giving up Jackson Holliday, you freaks. Let's go sign Max Fried or something. So two out of the four guys I would include.
That's
not together. Not together, to be clear.
Yeah.
Not both of them at the same time. One or the other.
Pat, do you agree with him?
I think I would only move Teal.
And that's an interesting one because the White Sox have a good catching prospect.
I know. I think I would be, let me put it this way. I would be more willing to package 5 and 6, so Arias and Montgomery, than I would include one of the top four.
I don't think you can move Montgomery right now.
I agree with both of you. I would sooner do that, but at the same time, I don't think teams are going to be super eager to make Braden Montgomery the centerpiece of a trade when you've never seen him play any pro ball. But
you know what sucks is I've been obsessed with this idea, the Garrett Crochet deal, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah.
But I've been looking at the White Sox roster. There's nobody on that roster that you can be like, okay, if they add in this guy as well, then I'll do it. It's literally just Crochet and then Luis Robert, Robert, whatever, who had an awful 2024, like hellaciously bad 2024. So there's,
well, that's my answer. That's my answer, Sammy.
Okay.
My answer,
if you believe in Luis Robert, then a little bit different, but like, I don't know. I don't want him to be the straw that breaks the camel's back, because what if he's still hurt? What if he's not the same guy we thought he was when he was playing a few years ago and he's trending down now and his defense is going bad? He's nearing 30. Like,
It's interesting. So I want to focus on Marcelo Meyer, just because like we've heard that the White Sox like him, and I don't necessarily think that Teal would be on the forefront of the radar, but I do think Marcelo Meyer is. I would feel uncomfortable dealing Marcelo Meyer for Garrett Crochet without an extension either in place or the idea of that. Like, or just at least a good idea that it's going to happen. Like, you've talked to him and it's like, yeah, maybe you don't have an agreement, but like, he wants to get something done. We want to get something done. But if it were in a deal for Crochet and Luis Robert, whose deal is $15 million this year and then two straight years of $20 million team options, that's a guy who you could make him the left fielder, Duran the center fielder, Anthony the right fielder, or maybe it's Anthony the left fielder, Duran the center fielder, Robert the right fielder, and Sidon Rafael as the utility guy. Like, that transforms your offense if you get the Luis Robert that he showed he could be a couple years ago. So if you could get both him and Crochet, like, yeah, man, I would do it. I would.
Wouldn't you just put Robert, a guy with massive injury risk, and the defense took a big step back in 2024. Wouldn't you just put him in that O'Neill spot where he's mostly the DH, but he'll play a little bit of left field, a little bit of right field? Like, I feel like that's probably the depends. Safer bit. And then you get, then depends. You keep that defense in center with Rafaela. I don't know.
I think it depends because, Sammy, Jaron Duran played elite center field defensively, and Luis Robert has done the same in the past. I know this year it was a step back, but he was also hurt. So I'd be willing to test it out, put him in right field, and, you know, let's see. Let's see, was he just hurt last year, or is his defense actually regressing? And if it is, like, yeah, I would play him a little bit at DH, but I do believe that the defense is still going to be there. I think he's a good enough defender, especially with the bat, to be an outfield staple for whatever team he plays for.
So here's Luis Robert. 2023, he played 145 games. So, like, healthy all the way through. 5-win player. I'm not a big WAR guy, but for the sake of this, 5-win player, 38 home runs, 20 stolen bases, 857 OPS, 130 OPS plus, and he played good defense. But the following year, 100 games, only 14 home runs. It's 23 stolen bases, so uptick there. And his OPS went down by 200 points on the dot, 657. So I could see him bouncing back. That's just so, that's such a risky way to acquire him.
Is it though? Because if he doesn't bounce back, you don't pick up the $20 million option.
Yeah, but
you still got Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, but you just paid a lot. Yeah, but you were okay paying that expensive price because you were getting Luis Robert Jr. on top of Garrett Crochet. So and by the way, it is worth mentioning the club option that you mentioned, Gordo. That is for 2026 and 2027. You'd be on the hook for $20 million, which if he's producing, that's a really good deal. If he's not, obviously not a good deal. So yeah, tough call.
Sammy, do you have the contract up?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a club option each year, or is it a club option for both years?
Club option in 2026, club option in 2027. What a weird contract. And he is a $2 million buyout for both of these. 2027 club option. Okay. Yeah, they're separate. So if 2026 is exercised, if you then decline 2027, it's a $2 million buyout, which is... pennies for these teams, so, and then free agent after.
Even if he sucks next year and you're like, he still might have something, $20 million doesn't kill you. That's less than Trevor Story's making.
Yeah, it doesn't kill you. But if you're John Henry and you like have the budget, I don't know. The more I talk about it, the better I feel. I will say that. It's just that was such a bad season from Robert.
Remember how we talked about him last year? Come on, we were all over this guy a year ago.
I made a song for him. I remember, even if I could make a deal with Lou Bob. Yeah, I had a whole song for the guy, but I don't know if my love
Sammy,
still rings
don't
true.
Don't jump ship.
Dude, there's something about acquiring players from the White Sox that I like Chris Sale, Crochet, Lou Bob. I'm always talking, I always want to pillage the White Sox.
So, okay, so Sammy, you said yes to this, so I want to ask Pat directly. Pat, if the White Sox went up to you and they had truth serum, so you knew they weren't bullshitting you, and they said, hey, the Diamondbacks have agreed to trade us Jordan Lawler for Garrett Crochet, we are going to do that, but if you guys offer us Marcelo Meyer, we'll do that instead, would you let them send him to the Diamondbacks, or would you trade Marcelo?
I think I would trade Marcelo just because Campbell can play short. He played a competent shortstop last year. Franklin Arias is a top 100 guy. He plays shortstop. Yoelan Cespedes is a future top 100 guy. He plays shortstop. You have a bunch of – and you have Story, who's actively playing shortstop. Like, you have plenty of current and future options. I don't want to call Marcelo expandable because I think he's by far going to be the best of those bunch.
But I mean, if it leads to you getting a 25-year-old ace who you can extend, you have to do it. But that being said, it's literally like Marcelo and a pile of shit. Like, there's nothing else of value going beyond Marcelo.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Pat. I think the way that the Red Sox should handle this is that the big four are totally untouchable. And then at the last second, if you're not going to get them, then you can call an audible and maybe make one available. But it would have to just be Marcelo, because I agree with you, Sammy. I'm not going to trade Anthony in that deal. I'm not going to trade Campbell in that deal. And I don't think the White Sox are going to be that in on Teal. So if it gets to that point, I hope it doesn't. But it's interesting, because I feel like the one thing we didn't discuss, I guess, would be the idea of Tristan Casas, who I know that there's been stuff refuting the idea that he could get traded, but we're still hearing like a little bit of buzz that maybe he could. I don't think that he will, but it's not a 0% chance. And to me, I'm not trading Tristan Casas for Garrett Crochet. Are either of you guys?
No, it's not a one for one player thing. It's the control. You're trading way more years of Casas for significantly less of Crochet. So no, that's an easy no for me. By the way, talk about Marcelo Meyer, and I think I've mentioned this before, but the White Sox top prospect, their top hitting prospect, Colson Montgomery, very similar to Meyer over the last few years, but recently he's moved over to third base. So
yeah, there you go.
Maybe they'd be extra interested in Meyer. Not that you have to drum up interest in a guy like Marcelo Meyer, but
yeah. Pat, would you trade Casas for Crochet?
No, neither would I.
Think about our content. Our content value would go down if we didn't have Tristan.
would there be what starters would you trade Tristan Casas for on the market?
Like Google, and he's not available. Jackson.
Any of the Mariners guys?
Nah. Yeah. The only one I would consider, and I'd probably walk away, is Logan Gilbert. But even him, I'm like, eh.
That's funny. I was going to say the only one in Seattle would be Kirby for me.
Oh, I just don't think he's available.
Oh,
that's why I didn't mention him. Just,
Yeah.
So, Mariners tidbit that I heard from someone I trust that is familiar with their thinking was that out of their starters, they love Wu and they're not going to move Wu, and they're treating him like he's the next dude. So Wu's not going to go anywhere. Bryce Miller, George Kirby, not going to go anywhere. Logan Gilbert, unlikely to go anywhere. But if someone overpaid, might. The guy that they would be down to move, and like obviously Jerry DePoto has said he's not moving any of these guys, but I've heard that the guy that they would be willing to move is Luis Castillo. So obviously not trading Tristan Casas for Luis Castillo, who is on the downswing and making a bunch of money. But something to keep in mind is that if they're going to trade anyone, probably Luis Castillo.
I also don't know if George Kirby would be a good fit with the Red Sox, because like he's good in Seattle because they have like a big ballpark. You don't need to strike as many guys out. He's not a big strikeout guy, and like he gives up medium hard hit balls, a little better than that. I should give him some more credit. I don't know. I feel like that's tough. That's a tough profile to live with at Fenway. You really have to be striking guys out, or you have to be a hardcore ground ball pitcher.
I love Kirby.
If there was second percentile with ground ball,
he's just, but the dude doesn't walk anybody. And he's going to get better. He throws really hard. Like it's like, honestly, just knowing like what I've heard, it's like almost not even worth talking about. But like at some point in the future, like until he gets extended, like I'm always going to have that hope, because he's that dude.
He'd be good. I mean, I'm overthinking it. I think he'd be fine with the Red Sox. I just feel like I don't know if Boston's the best fit for him.
Yeah. Okay, before we get out of here, any enough said from anybody? I don't have anything. I don't know if you guys do.
I saw that Aaron Rodgers tied Tom Brady for losses today, but in 88 less games. So
that's cool.
Aaron Rodgers sucks. Hasn't he only won one Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I feel like talking about like, oh, Derek Jeter has this many rings, David Ortiz has this many rings, doesn't do much for me. But when you're talking football and it's the quarterback, I feel like it matters a bit more. So Aaron Rodgers, just for some reason, just wildly unlikable beyond him playing for the New York Jets. Just I can't stand the guy. I've never liked him. I do enjoy seeing his downfall.
Football and basketball, I think you can point to the rings. Baseball, you can't. Like, we saw Shohei Ohtani not even sniff the playoffs for years.
Yeah. Basketball, because there's so few guys on a team. One player exactly. makes the biggest impact compared to other sports, yeah.
Pat, anything?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have looked this far ahead, but I have. Take a look at the Thanksgiving slate in terms of NFL games. The TV will not be on in my house. I'll just leave it at that. The games are bad. So bad. Sammy, do you mind pulling it up?
NFL. I honestly don't even watch. I don't watch football if it's not the Patriots. Okay, Bears, Lions.
Ass.
It's okay. I mean, Caleb Williams is a guy on the team. Dolphins, Packers. Ugh.
Yeah.
Giants, Cowboys would be a good game just because they're rivals and they always play close games.
But Dak's not playing.
Yeah, that's gonna.
Oh, that'll make it even closer. Well,
it's always the Cowboys. That's the thing. It's always the Cowboys. It's always the Lions. So you kind of have to like mentally.
But the Lions.
For, like,
the Lions should be fun. Like
they are fun, but they're who are they playing?
But the Bears. Playing the Bears. Yes, it's gonna. They're gonna blow them out.
If
you're
the
right,
Pats can beat the Bears, the Lions can throttle them.
Yeah.
Well, the Pats are better than the Lions. Look how many Super Bowls the Pats have won. Anyway, moving on.
God. I
don't know if you have enough said. I've mentioned this really quickly. So Giannis, I don't know if any of you guys saw the Celtics. Bucks.
Dude tried to murder two of our players.
I wasn't really a fan of him when everyone was like, oh, this guy's a man. Like, he is great. He's a really good player. But he's like, he's slowly becoming unlikable. But I never liked him really from the start. Or not the start, but like maybe after, like when it hit 2020, I would say. I think I just didn't like him. Just something about him rubbed me the wrong way.
Well, he freaking elbowed Jalen in the face on Sunday and then stuck his foot under Tatum and twisted his ankle. Also did the fake high five thing to Jalen. So, yeah. I mean, I've always been a Giannis guy, but like he's a rival, so you gotta go at him. The Celtics always beat him, so it is what it is.
Yeah, I like what Jaylen Brown said. He was like, Giannis is a child. I'm just trying to win a game for my team, and that's what we did.
Hell yeah, brother.
You know what I think it is? I think it's like the Patrick Mahomes syndrome, because you guys know like his brother is like basically the biggest cheerleader of all. Like,
yeah. Talking about Thanasis or Jackson?
Yeah. No, Thanasis. Like literally, like watch a Bucks game in its entirety, or watch like the condensed highlights or whatever online when they show it. Literally, every single play is Thanasis like getting up off the bench and just being like, "Yeah, good job, guys."
Yeah, he's annoying as shit.
Yeah, so I think part of that relays into my hatred for Giannis.
So Joe hates Giannis. Well, too bad you're not going to see him in the playoffs this year because they never win any games. Docker's their head coach for now.
Hey, I will gladly take them not being in the playoffs.
Yeah, what a terrible move. Now they're all docking up with Doc, and it's not going to work. But... Yeah. All right, that's enough for me.
Yeah, good episode, guys. We anything else before we wrap?
Yeah, I can't wait for Garrett Crochet's debut, but I don't know what number he's going to wear because 45 is retired and 54, if you flip it, is already taken by Lucas Giolito. So what number is Garrett Crochet going to wear for the Red Sox? I vote 35. Just go down by one notch on the left.
I vote 40. What was Pivetta's number? Was Pivetta 43?
37.
37.
37. Okay, he can take Pivetta's number. He can be 37. Actually, Pivetta might come back. So
I don't want that. What if give him 99? Oh, no, Guerrero's got 99. Oh, well. 35 is a cool number. It's a multiple of five. It's cool. Divisible by
35. He can be 35. What was Pablo Reyes' number? He could take that.
19.
Ooh. Oh, okay, 19. That works. The last
Sam, you need
ace
help.
Pitcher they traded for. Yeah.
Yeah.
The last ace pitcher they traded for that wore number 19 for the Sox ended up turning out pretty good. So I'll take that.
Josh Beckett.
Bang.
But he wore number 21 on the Marlins.
Okay. Right. Now we're done.
I need help.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 150 of Play Tessie. Remember to like, rate, subscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a comment. Tell us your trade packages for Garrett Crochet. Whether you would say yes or no as the Red Sox to any of the proposals we discussed today. Leave it in the comment section or hit us up on Twitter. We're on YouTube as well on the WEI page. We got a Play Tessie playlist there. So you can check out our videos there. Hit the thumbs up. Subscribe to WEI, and as always, find us on the socials at Play Tessie and on Twitter and Instagram at Play Tessie. God, I'm tired. Thanks for tuning in for episode 150. We all want Garrett Crochet to Boston. If it can happen without including a member of the Big Four, it'd be pretty hard to say no to whatever that deal is. So we will see. Got a lot of offseason ahead, maybe something to watch at the winter meetings, which I think are going to be pretty big this year. But till next time, we will be back in your ears, I believe, tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Drop Down Wednesday, should be back in yours again tomorrow on Thursday. But till then, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Play Tessie. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.